In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. The readings in the vernacular. The epistle is from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or grandchildren, let her learn first to govern her own house and to make a return of the duty to her parents. For this is acceptable before God. But she that is a widow indeed and desolate, let her trust in God and continue in supplications and prayers day and night. For she that liveth in pleasures is dead while she is still living. And this is given in charge that may be blameless. But if any man has not care of his own, especially of those of his house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let a widow be chosen of no less than 80 years of age, who hath been a wife of one husband, having testimony for her good works. If she have brought up children, if she be received into their harbor, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have ministered to them that suffered in tribulation, if she have diligently followed every good work. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. In the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, which a man having found it, hid it, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that very field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking good pearls, who, when he hath found one good pearl of great price, went his way and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a net cast into the sea and gathered together all kinds of fish, which, when it was filled, they drew it out. And sitting upon the shore, they chose out the good into vessels, but the bad they cast forth. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall go out and shall separate the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They saith to him, Yes. He saith unto them, Therefore, every scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder, who bringeth forth out of his treasure new things and old things. And this concludes the reading of the Holy Gospel. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, today's Mass is being offered for those most lost souls, as is normally our movement on Thursdays. Just a note on the liturgy. Probably we're wondering, why are we standing for such a long intercession, such a long beginning prayer, collect? Well, that's because there are tons of them that I threw in there, because we need to pray for a lot of things at this time. We're praying, obviously, the Masses of St. Bridget, but also of those holy martyrs, which I mentioned there, which are commemorated, but then also a bunch of other commemorations that we added in for, we prayed for the Pope, we prayed for our Bishop, we prayed for our King, our President, we prayed for the defense of the Church against the heathens. And heathen forces. We prayed. There's another one, but I forgot what it was. But we prayed it. So there's a lot of things that we need to pray for at this time. And that's why you'll have extended periods at those times of silence. And just know that those are the things that we're praying for. And for one other thing that I forgot to say. Saint Bridget. Do you know a little bit about her life? She's a very powerful saint. A saint who sprung up at a time when was she given to this life of sanctity? When did God call her for a special purpose and she answered in this world? She was a great queen of Sweden. They're up in the north. We don't have a whole great number of saints way up north. In fact, if you even go to those areas today, you find not only are they not very Catholic, not very Christian, they don't have faith at all. What religion were they given to after the Protestant rebellion? Do you recall? Strong Lutheranism. That's where they were. They rejected the Catholic faith because of an error that they made. They weren't really sure what the true faith was at all. And so they just happened to select the Lutheran faith and went strongly toward it. And today you find that they're among the least Christian places in the entire world. They are nothing, absolutely nothing. And that which they do still hold on to, they hold on to so lightly as to not hold on to anything. I had a few friends in the seminary who went all the way up there for one of their trips that they were able to make. We were able to make many trips studying in Europe. And they would go there, and it was tough for them to find any sort of church, much less a Catholic church in those times. Of course, anytime you stumble upon a Catholic church and a Catholic priest in a time as a seminarian or as a priest in such a unchristian and certainly un-Catholic place like that, you are received with great joy. And so they were very well received when they arrived at those places. But it was so hard to find even a church that was still in use, a church where faithful indeed did gather. Yet that situation is much like the situation that he grew up in the time of St. Bridget. You see, in the time of St. Bridget, we talk about that as the exile of the church, right? The church was in exile, the Avignon captivity. It was during her lifetime that the Pope, seeing the great destruction that was going on within the whole of the church, Rome itself had to be abandoned because of the mismanagement of the popes of their own states, the rebellion of the people against, you know how great St. Peter's is, the great basilica that we have? Well, that wasn't standing today. But the St. Peter's that was there, we're told that even sheep would go and graze inside the church of St. Peter's. That's how in disrepair the whole of Rome was, that beasts would go and eat and do their things inside the church. Obviously, there was very little faith at that time. Obviously, the whole of the breakdown of what the church was had gone to a very pitiable state. And so what did God do? Where the very Catholic lands, where the Pope went off and did what to Avignon in France, where there was more treasure in gold than there was in piety there. He was living in riches, living in greatness there, a place that would actually keep him protected from those forces that were there and lived in great luxury. So where did the Spirit of God go? Not to Rome, which is the center of the church, not to France, which was her eldest daughter, but went to the outskirts, to the frontier. And that's where the Lord visited very greatly, in a particular woman by the name of Bridget, a widow. Now, she wasn't born a widow, obviously. She had a normal young life for a saint, meaning she was brought up in great piety. When we know from her earliest years, I can't remember whether she was 4 or 7, just a young age, she was remembers hearing a beautiful sermon preached upon the crucifixion of our Lord, preached upon our Lord and his great passion. That night, she had great dreams following up on that, because it so impacted her, the words of the priest and the words spoken to her heart by our Lord, that when she got up in the morning, the crucifix that was there in her room, she could see it covered with fresh blood. And from then on, all she did was meditate upon the passion of Christ, so struck by it, that she could not even hear about our Lord's suffering in any way, praying the rosary or anything, without being moved to tears. So impacted was she. And so that played a very great role in the rest of her life. She was eventually given to marriage to the king, I believe his name was Olaf, one of the great kings there of Sweden, and just like following the pattern of every great queen saint. Had a good life, brought forth children, eventually converted her husband to true faith, where he went off and lived a very religious life there afterwards. She herself was given to a deeper movement of caring for those who were sick, caring for those who were poor, giving away her wealth in such a way, founding hospitals and things to make sure that those who were weak and wounded were taken care of. But then the Lord was calling her something greater, and so she founded a great order called the Brigittines. This was at the end of her life. Her daughter even continued in that. And her great suffering was to travel around the world, to go to various pilgrimage sites, and to be able to spread the faith in that way and to bring back. And everywhere she went, our Lord visited her with great revelations. You can read about them. You know, the prayers of St. Bridget for the conversion of souls, actually for the release of souls from purgatory. You pray these prayers and many, many souls are released. I remember I probably shared this with you last year on the feast day, but my own quasi-nephews, my second cousins, every day on their way to Catholic school would pray the prayer of St. Bridget that releases, do you remember how many souls it is? I forget the number. But you pray that prayer, some great number, like 1,000 souls or something like that, would be released from purgatory each time it was prayed devoutly. And so they would desire every time they'd go to school to release a certain number of souls from purgatory. And so my cousins, my second cousins, these little boys, would with great zeal and great fervor within their souls, pray these prayers both to school and back from school every day, claiming at the end of the day, this is how many souls we've released from purgatory. This is how many souls we've set free so that they could be in heaven. It's a beautiful thing. A movement that we should take from this is to see that the destruction that we see within the church at this time, even though it's not in the same way as it was in the time of the Avignon papacy when Rome was totally desolate, we see, though, in another way that Rome is desolate of faith. In truth, it would be better if the city of Rome were laid waste than to have the faith laid waste in the same way. So St. Bridget is a great example for us of what we can do in the midst of that, which is when our faith seems to be attacked, when eternal truths are not held as such, when little by little the things which have been passed on from the fathers have been marginalized, and we as men, women of faith, feel marginalized as well, is to go back as St. Bridget did, to go back to our Lord, to spend time with Christ, to meditate, as St. Augustine said, there is no greater thing that you and I can do for the help of our salvation than to meditate upon the passion and death of our Lord, to spend that time consoling him in his passion. Right before Mass, we prayed the rosary, didn't we? What mysteries did we meditate upon? We did the joyful today? Oh, I thought yesterday we did the joyful. We did it 2 days in a row. Okay, well, either way, that's not a problem. It's not a problem. The passion of the Lord, the passion of the Lord. So meditating upon the passion in this way is what can bring us great strength as the church is going through a passion. Prayers were also offered, I heard, to console our Lord in the midst of his suffering, to console his sacred heart, to make reparation. And so thereby, we can have that same sort of spirit which brought renewal. St. Bridget of Sweden didn't see it in her time. The church was still held captive in the Avignon papacy. Her visions were not well heeded during her life, even though her order began to grow and grow and grow. It wasn't until her spiritual daughter spoke up and the Lord brought her up that the papacy was restored to where it should have been, in her spiritual daughter, St. Catherine of Siena, one who took up the very same mantle and was able to convince the popes to come back to Rome. And so maybe it's not likely that you and I will see within our own lifetimes the restoration of the church as she ought to be. But that doesn't mean that our spiritual children, those who have a heart and a fervor that God won't grant those ones the graces there. But how are they purchased? By the sufferings? By the prayers, by the acts of reparation, which you and I do, even in a small place, such as little Santa Rosa as we are today. But those same movements within our soul, we can take courage that our God, He's, as the scriptures say, the same yesterday, the same today, and forever. All presents are present to Him. To Him may it be glory now and always and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.